Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
So this is, I don't like this. Yesterday evening, I was going to a website that I frequent as I am doing my show prep, and you know I'm starting to get ready. We're going to roll out on the show as we do every year. We're going to roll out our preseason conference previews and predictions. Lonzo and I will, as we do every year. We will start to go conference by conference and give you our thoughts, give you who we like and who we don't, who we think are contenders, who we think are pretenders, etc. And so I went and I was looking at last year's end of the season individual conference standings, just to kind of like start building the previews out, because again, we're like 6 weeks away from football at this point. That's a little longer than that, but not much. Like, what, I guess about 8 weeks out now? Anyway, I went and looked at the conference standings from last year, and then, and I don't know what would inspire me to do this. I think I just wanted to see what the expanded ACC, what the expanded Big Ten look like when you have all the teams put together on a list for the first time. Because the standings charts for 2024 is the first time you see the Big Ten listed with Oregon State and USC and UCLA and Washington included. And then I went and I looked at the Southeastern Conference, because it's the first time that it's been listed with Texas and Oklahoma added in as teams in the SEC. And right above the SEC, where it has, obviously, all the teams, including the new ones, is the official season standings, Lonzo, for the Pac-12 with two teams on it, Oregon State and Washington State. That's it. That's the list. And, you know, I have probably been, to some of you, almost obnoxious with the get over it stuff. Like, this is the inevitability. That I said in the last show, in the last hour, as we do the philosophy and sports show on the Fan Upstate, the inevitable outcome of unbridled, unchecked, unregulated capitalism is monopoly. That's not a question. That's a statement. He who has the gold makes the rules, and very rarely in history do you find somebody that has the gold that makes rules that benefit not him, right? Very rarely do you see somebody that has the gold make a rule that make it harder for them to maintain and get more of the gold. The Pac-12 is the proof of that. I don't know, man. Like, I'm a big get over it. It's still college football guy. But for some reason last night, and maybe it's just because sometimes I'm an absolute emotional, seeing the Pac-12 official standings with just two teams in it, while looking right below it to the SEC with a bunch more and the Big Ten with a bunch more, Zoe, in a weird way, kind of made me a little sad.
Well, you know, in the pack too, if you're not first, you're last.
Holy crap. Holy crap.
You're welcome.
Holy crap. Lonzo just came up with the entire marketing strategy for everybody except the Pac-2. The Pac-2, if you're not first, you're last. Incredible. That's one of the best lines you've dropped in 3 years. That's great work.
I don't need to take a bow. That's what I do, man.
That's great work. That is above and beyond, even for you, great one. That's phenomenal.
Lonzo is a superstar.
It is 7:05 in the morning. You're less than an hour from having to check in. The good news, it's fake Friday. Got to get down on Friday. Bad news is you're still going to work today. Still got to get to the office today. Still got to work today. Still got to pull it together today. And that means you're going to be talking sports at the office. And if you're going to be talking sports at the office, you need to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you need to know what's going on in the world of sports, you need this.
What kind of place is this?
The water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this AM and start talking sports with your coworkers. When you have those conversations, these three items are what those conversations are going to be about. Let us begin, ladies and gentlemen, with item number one. Aces coach Becky Hammon in the WNBA said that team officials asked her a few days ago about moving Tuesday's game with the Indiana Fever to the larger T-Mobile Arena, an NBA arena. Her only question was, can we make money? They said, yeah, and she said, move it. The result? A sellout crowd of 20,366, the fifth largest crowd in WNBA history and the largest regular season crowd at a WNBA game since 1999. The crowd on hand of over 20,300 watched the Aces defeat the Fever 88-69 on the back of a season-high 34 points from Kelsey Plum. Indiana has become accustomed to big crowds both at home and on the road. Caitlin Clark effect is real. Help the Fever drive up their attendance. Sunday's Fever Mercury game in Phoenix drew 17,071 fans, the largest crowd at a Mercury game since 1997. There have been, in the history of the WNBA, only 8 games to draw at least 20,000 fans. 4 of them came in the opening 2 years of the league, 97, 98, and 99. There were 2 from 2000 to 2023. The other 2 have both come this year, both Fever games, Tuesday night and June 7th at Washington, when the Fever and Mystics drew 20,333 overall. The Aces typically play at Michelob Ultra Arena at Mandalay Bay in Vegas, which holds about 12,000. They have had a few games in previous seasons at T-Mobile, which is where the Golden Knights play. They will play there again on September 3rd when Angel Reese and the Chicago Sky come to town. But the number is real. The Caitlin Clark effect is real. And if that number itself wasn't enough to prove it, well, let's look at the WNBA All-Star Game, of which Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese have officially been named members, both of them making the WNBA All-Star Game this year. You want to know how you know the effect is real, that this is not a flash in the pan? All-Star voting happened. Last year's All-Star votes were led by Ajaw Wilson, who got just over 95,500 votes. Brianna Stewart got 87,500. Brittany Griner, 72,500. Aaliyah Boston, 72,300. Jackie Young, 63,200. Give or take a few dozen here and there. Last year's top All-Star vote getter from the public, Lonzo, Ajaw Wilson with 95,860. This year's, Caitlin Clark with 700,700 votes.
Never heard of her.
That, and I did the research during the break. I got out the abacus. I did a little algebra. It turns out, and this is true, I can now verify it. I went to the MIT website, checked it out there. They confirmed it. 700,735 is more than 95,860 by a term that we use in math sometimes, a lot.
We use in math.
It's about as high level math as I get. About as high level math as I get is 95,000 more or less than 700,000.
How did Angel Reese do? Because she said, we're here too, and she made the team, right?
Angel Reese got the 5th most All-Star votes at 381,518. She checked in behind Brianna Stewart, who got 424,000, and Ajaw Wilson, who got 607,000, and Aaliyah Boston, who got 618,000. That is 5-4-3-2, checking in behind Caitlin Clark. Now, what I will say is this. I'm a little disappointed because this is a popularity contest. But at the same time, I'm not disappointed because you know what else is a popularity contest? Everything, anytime you let fans vote. That's just what it is. All right? Now, I will say, for instance, like MLB's All-Star race this year is kind of interesting. Bryce Harper was the number one vote getter in the first round, which is, I don't know if Bryce Harper is up there along with the Shohei Ohtanis as most popular player in the game. But Bryce Harper, pre the injury that he is dealing with now, is having a season for the freaking ages, man. He's unbelievable right now.
They just had to change camera angles of Wimbledon because there was a spider crawling across the camera. It was wild.
TV's weird, man.
It looks so big. So all those people saying that, you know, that Caitlin Clark popularity is overhyped is the wrong, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The Caitlin Clark effect is real. And as much as I appreciate the contributions of Angel Reese, hell of Aaliyah Boston, of Asia Wilson, etc. Caitlin Clark is a star. She's just a star. That's just all it is. She is a star.
You know, good for Angel Reese, though. She's a rookie, and she made the All-Star team.
For sure. For sure. And again, I don't know how many times I have to say it. Caitlin Clark is still a great basketball player. She plays on an awful team. There's a reason that the Indiana Fever were able to draft Caitlin Clark. It's because they were the worst team in the league last year. Item number two. A national champion at UConn, a four-time NBA All-Star, and a dude whose name is written all over the history books of the Charlotte Hornets. Kemba Walker has called it a career. Drafted into the league in the 2011 NBA draft by the then Charlotte Bobcats, a year after leading UConn to a natty, Walker started out in 2011, improved year by year until he became an All-Star for the first time in 2016-17. Was an All-Star again each of the next 2 years, including a 2018-19 season where he averaged a career-best 25.5 points per game and was named to the All-NBA third team. He did end up going to play with the Boston Celtics, moved there in a sign-and-trade deal with Charlotte. Did make the All-Star game his first year in Boston, but injuries started to derail that momentum shortly after that. However, it is the time in Charlotte that I think Kemba Walker is going to be remembered for. Not only does he hold the record to this day for most points scored by a member of that franchise, but he also ends his NBA career as the Hornets' all-time leader in points, all-time leader in three-pointers, all-time leader in wins, all-time leader in minutes played. He is also second in assists. He is also third in steals. He is also third in games played. And he, as a guard, was eighth all-time in rebounds for the Charlotte Hornets. Kemba Walker put out his announcement yesterday that he is stepping away from the game with a tweet that he said, "Thank you, basketball," followed by a nice little open letter about his love of the game. Kemba Walker, one of the most important Bobcats / Hornets in the history of that franchise, stepping away after a very long and very distinguished career. Let's get item number three. Went back and forth on this one, but it's big to me, especially after the announcement yesterday that Major League Baseball was shifting up the rules of the MLB All-Star Home Run Derby, which, by the way, this is the biggest if it ain't broke, don't fix it in sports this year, right? The Derby is fun. I asked Lonzo yesterday, can I get you in on the Derby? And Lonzo's response was, you don't have to get me in. I'm already in. I already tune in. That's great. I agree. I'm the same way. It's one of my favorite things of All-Star Weekend. It is something that I spend a lot of time watching. I love the Derby. Just go back to the outs, all right? You get 10 outs. You swing it as any ball you want. Let any ball you want to go, let go. You get 10 outs. All of that being said, the Derby works its best when the biggest sluggers in the game are in it, right? Lonzo may not tune in and necessarily get hyped that Pete Alonso's in it.
Actually, I would, because he's got Lonzo.
Okay, Polar Bear is not the best example there. He might not tune in and get super jacked that Aaron Judge, actually would, because Aaron Judge is a gigantic monster of a person.
Large man, yes.
He's a huge, huge person. Lonzo may not get jacked up that Anthony Santander is in it.
Is he?
I don't know yet. But he is fourth in Major League Baseball in home runs right now. One of the better masters on the field, right? So, the point here is, I suspect, even if he's not a big baseball guy, Lonzo knows who Shohei Ohtani is.
Absolutely.
Knows who Aaron Judge is.
Know him, yes.
Know who Marcell Ozuna is?
Mm-hmm.
Knows who Juan Soto is?
That's a Soto.
So Juan Soto is? These things work best when the biggest stars in the game are in it. They work best when the biggest stars participate. And I got a response to something Diesel said yesterday that I want to get to in just a little while as well about something similar to this. Shohei Ohtani officially out of the Home Run Derby. He is continuing his rehab after his elbow surgery so that he can get back on the bump and win a Cy Young next season. So he is officially out of the Home Run Derby. And I do kind of wonder if the rule change maybe inspired him a little bit. Because he had been saying he was interested and he was considering it. And now all of a sudden he's right back out. I am kind of wondering if maybe there's something about the rule change that might be driving players away from participating in this. We'll talk more about it later on in the radio broadcast. Rob Lonzo and you, it's the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move.
You are a fighter. Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the Fan Upstate. Joey sent a text to the show, 71307. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N, Fan, F-A-M. We'll read them on the air. He said the top 12 in home runs for the season as of July 1st should be invited to the Derby each year. I actually love that idea. I really do. I think that is a spectacular idea. I think that not only does it ensure that you have a mix of stars, but it also makes sure that you have a list of list of stars and potentially some young guys that you can get some exposure. MLB needs to continue to do a better job of promoting their stars. I think most sports do. I think the NBA, honestly, does it best. But that is also because basketball is a world where a team sport can be dominated by individual performances that a team complements, right? I think football does a pretty good job of it. The NFL does a pretty good job of it, right? Now, the problem I think they bump into is that they're like always promoting the same stars, right? I'm watching advertisements for NFL football right now, and it's like Josh Allen. Here's Josh Allen. Here's Patrick Mahomes. He's doing every commercial, right? It's the same stars. So it's hard to generate new interest. We all know who Pat Mahomes is. We all know who Josh Allen is. Who's next? Who's the next guy? I don't think baseball does a good enough job of it. Now, baseball, about the best promotion of stars you get out of baseball right now, in my opinion, is when they are promoting an upcoming weekend game. And they're like, Aaron Judge and the Yankees do battle with Pete Alonso and the Mets. Coming up this Sunday on Apple TV. And that's it. Like, that's it. That's it. I think they should be promoting the hell out of Gunnar Henderson. I think they should be promoting the hell out of these young players. While also making sure that the Juan Sotos of the world and the Aaron Judges of the world are still out there on the forefront as well. I think this is a great idea to do that. Now, I will say this. Obviously, you're going to have a lot of guys that are kind of tied, so I think you'd have to be kind of selective about some of the spots and some of the folks that you pick. I think you got to be careful about that. And the reason that I say that is here is what the list would look like right now. Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, Gunnar Henderson from Baltimore, Jose Ramirez from Cleveland, Anthony Santander from Baltimore, Marcelo Zuna from Atlanta, Bryce Harper from Philly, Josh Naylor from Cleveland, Juan Soto from the Yankees, Kyle Tucker from Houston, and then I've got about a six-way tie for that 12th spot between Pete Alonso, Yordan Alvarez, Rafi Devers, Teoscar Hernandez, and Giancarlo Stanton, and Christian Walker. And I think we could come up with a set of rules, right? Like, if there is a multi-way tie for 12th, nobody who already has their team represented in the All-Star game. So you can't send Teoscar Hernandez because Shohei Ohtani's already there. You can't send Giancarlo Stanton because Aaron Judge is already in. That way you open it up to more players, right? So the first guy that would be able to go from that spot would be Pete Alonso. Okay. I think you could maybe you give a tiebreaker to anyone who has been in or won it before. Pete Alonso knows how to work the home run derby. Send him. Yordan Alvarez from Houston. Another good pick. Tied right there. Big name. So I'm all in for all of that. But I will also tell you, as far as the Derby goes, I really do think just go back to the old format. Just go back to the old format. Go back to the format where you get, in the first round, you get 10 outs. Top eight move on. And then in the second round, you get 10 outs. And you start a bracket from that spot. And the guy who hit the most in round one becomes the one seed. The guy who hit the fewest but moved on becomes the eighth seed. You match them up that way. Start the bracket with four guys on each side. Work it down to a showdown. Showdown, each team gets 10 outs. And then if you still want to do the gimmicky stuff, you can. Every home run that you hit over, let's say, 10 feet beyond the average home run length for the season, right? Or every home run that is the average home run length of the season. So if we are in a year like we are this year, where I am now thoroughly convinced that MLB nerfed the baseballs during the offseason, The distance in home runs are down. That is why last year you got bonus time if you hit in competition a dinger that went over 450. They dropped it to 425 this year? I think they dropped it down to 425. All right, you deaden the baseballs. Thank you for finally admitting it without admitting it. And I think that's wonderful. But any home run you hit that goes over the average home run distance for the league, let's say it's 425, you get one more out. So you could theoretically hit an infinite number of home runs in a round. But if a guy is clobbering the baseball in a way that he is sending multiple jacks out of the building that are clobbering the average distance for the MLB home runs this year, do you know what fans want? We want more of that. I want to see a guy get into a rhythm and start hammering the cover off the baseball and get rewarded for it. We want more of that. So make it the average length. For every one of those that you get an extra out. Like it's not that hard. It's not broken. Don't fix it. Go back to the old philosophy. Then you get stars, you get young guys, you get excitement, you get strategy too, because let's say Aaron Judge goes up there for the Derby. Let's say he participates, and I'll be real with you. I don't think he's going to. Aaron Judge is going to limit the amount of physical exertion he puts his body through as a guy who has been injured like just as much as he hasn't, right? Like you're not going to get a ton out of Aaron Judge outside of regular season baseball. But let's say he's in it. And let's say Aaron Judge goes out there and he's on six outs and he just hit home run number 22. And it goes 435. And they go, okay, you got one more out. Now you're all the way up to, now you're back down to five outs. You get a negative out. You're five outs. At some point, if Aaron Judge actually wants to win this thing, the right decision would be what? Concede. I'm done with this round. I've hit 27 home runs, but if he's first, he doesn't know if a Pete Alonso is going to go up there and smack 30, right? Strategy, how you play it out. If you're Pete Alonso and you're up there and you're on nine outs and Aaron Judge set the mark at 24 home runs, you're on nine outs and you're on 12, but you know you're already in, right? You've already moved on. Do you wear yourself out continuing to slug? Do you wear yourself out continuing to get the lumber around full speed, knowing that you're not in a great spot to catch Aaron Judge, but also you are in a better spot to hit a couple of long ones and get that number back down to six outs, seven outs, and give yourself a, like, what's the strategy here? And it is a strategy because, as Lonzo pointed out last year, in the last two derbies we've had, a guy who had a remarkable first round got bounced in the third because he was gassed, right? Because he was just out of energy. He was just out of juice. And if he runs out of juice in the first round because he's trying to put on a show and somebody else goes boring early, but they've still got a half a tank in the final round, now all of a sudden, there's some drama involved there. Like, there's a way to make this dramatic. There's a way to make this fun.
In the end, these guys are competitors, though. If they enter, they want to win.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But again, that doesn't mean there's not a strategy to how you're going to do that, right? Like, if I get to 12 and I know I'm locked into the next round, but Judge is at 24, do I try to chase him down, or do I just concede my round there and go, I'll just head-to-head him in the next one and not risk swinging 11 more times to wear myself out but only get to 20 and I get no benefit from it? I like that you make it more of a game. You still got to go out there. You still got to knock the cover off the baseball. You still got to send a few dozen fans home with a cool souvenir. But now there's some strategy involved aside from just swing, club, hit ball hard, which, don't get me wrong, is awesome. It's awesome. I just feel like We're trying to fix something that, frankly, was never broken in the first place. And that is a historic problem for Major League Baseball. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Lonzo and you. Join the radio program, 844-326-3663. That is the number to the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone, 844-326-3663. You can text us on the text line at 71307, 71307. I would like to very quickly read you the start to an editorial posted on the USC fan site, Southern Cal, Trojans Wire, by a author named Matt Zemek, Z-E-M-E-K, if you want to go look it up. The headline of this article is, if you want to win but don't like where college football is going, you have to choose. That's the title of the editorial he's posted. He opens it as such. The new world of NIL, the transfer portal, and the college football playoff is turning college football into a business which looks increasingly more like the NFL. It's more corporate, more cutthroat, with more dollars and more postseason bursts on the line. The transfer portal is college sports' answer to free agency in the pros. Player acquisition is now a year-round pursuit in college football, and the programs which don't go into the portal, see Dabo Swinney at Clemson, are losing ground, end quote. He goes on to say, it's more than understandable that fans hate what college football is becoming. Recruiting isn't as fun as it used to be. The transfer portal, while very important in the larger scheme of college football's landscape, is annoying because one program can come in with a hefty NIL offer and snatch away a prospect who seemed intent on playing at another school. USC fans have felt this particular frustration quite a bit. If they hate what college football has become, no one can blame them for feeling that way. The discussion gets more complicated, however, when fans lament the direction of college football and how the sport no longer has the innocence or charm it used to have, but still want their school to be competitive in the NIL, the portal, and recruiting. We all don't like the crass commercialization of college football and the distorting effects of conference realignment, such as the ridiculous travel demands being placed on 19 and 20-year-old athletes. Yet, if we still care about our schools, such as USC, we realize this is the brave new world we're a part of. We either play the game or we might as well go home and pursue other passions. If we want USC to be competitive, we have to be willing to allow USC to pursue every reasonable and ethical avenue to achieve elite football performance. If we claim to want the best for you, to want the best for USC football, but then don't want the school to be hyper aggressive in the pursuit of quality, we're sending a missed message. We can privately hate where college football is going, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't want USC football to do whatever it takes, honorably, of course, to reach its goals. End quote. That's the whole thing. I was going to read you a part of it, but got into it. I'm like, yeah, this is short enough. I'll give it to you. Here's the fun thing. Yeah. Yeah. What are we talking about here? Like I've told you guys before, one of my hobbies is that when I get into the bro cave at night, and I'm getting set up to show prep for the next day, I've got my routine, right? Like I finish the show here. So when I go to the Fortress of Nerditude, we knock out our post-show work, our post-show production, whatever. I leave here, I go home, I sit out in the backyard with the dog, I come back in, I get a sandwich, I have lunch, whatever it's going to be. I take myself a little mid-afternoon siesta because I'm an adult with no kids. I do what I want, leave me alone. And then somewhere around 6 o'clock, I either sit on the couch with the fiance or I go back in the bro cave. I lean back in the gamer chair. I fire up the laptop and the tablet of truth. I put a sports on the TV and I start show prepping. And while I'm doing that, I will open up the Audacy app. A-U-D-A-C-Y, by the way. Get it. Heart, favorite, like, whatever you want to call it. The Fan Upstate. You can listen to, as many people do, the show, the station, anytime you want. But I clip around to sports talk channels in other markets. I listen to markets across the Southeast. I listen to markets along the Atlantic seaboard. I listen to shows from out in California. I like to know, what are the driving topics of discussion in other markets? And that doesn't always mean that those topics are going to work in our market, but there are some that do. And it seems like whenever I clip into stations that are primarily in college football towns, right? Fayetteville, Arkansas, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Eugene, Oregon, whatever the case might be. Whenever I clip into towns that are primarily college football towns, there's still a lot of, I don't like what college football has become. I don't like that it's lost its innocence. I'm getting real tired of that phrase, to keep it a buck for you. College football's never been innocent. It's just that most of what has happened out of your eyesight. That's all. The $500 handshakes have always happened.
You say never. Maybe when it first started. I mean, very first year.
Sure, if you'd like to go back to the 1810s, I'm sure it was just pure as the driven snow in 1814.
I don't think it's that old, but still.
You get the point. The point is, when it first started, they were wearing sweaters and no helmets to play the game. Like, maybe it was innocent at that point in time, but also, they were wearing sweaters and no helmets. We didn't really have the game figured out yet.
So you've never played backyard football before?
No, I definitely did.
Okay.
I was also dumb.
All right.
I wouldn't do it today. I guess I just ain't got that dog in me no more.
If I was physically capable, even at my age, I definitely would. There's just something about it. It's just so much fun.
And I'll get out there and roll some flag football with the best of them.
Well, no. I still, you know, I miss hitting people. I really do.
I got a list. I got a list. You can go hit if you want.
Not that kind of hit. Some of them are here.
Make it easy. You don't even have to play the away team. You can play the home team.
I can be the office linebacker.
Terry Tate.
I might need some help getting up after the first hit, but you know.
So whenever I clip into these college town sports stations, I am still hearing the I hate what college football has become conversation. And it kind of feels to me like, at this point, despite the fact that I'm doing a segment on it, it kind of feels to me like a waste of breath at this point. Guys, it's never going back, right? It's never going back. What are we talking about? I will say, if nothing else, I think I appreciated this article from this cat because you know Lonzo, if I asked you to summarize this editorial that I just read, penned by Matt Zemek, if I asked you to like ChatGPT summarize this thing for me, how would you summarize this article?
I can't do that.
Okay, I can. The summary is shut up and stop-ing about it because you have two options, embrace it and be good or reject it and be bad, and that's it.
Yeah, but it's a waste of breath. That's why I can't do it because the people who are still clinging and still looking behind and not ahead are going to remain doing that because, unfortunately, that's a lot of their show prep. You take that away, then they're going to have to embrace the new way and actually start talking about what's going on now. I get it. There's regret. There's glory about the past, but it ain't coming back. I mean,
I'm sure there is some element of it of every generation believes that the era they grew up in is the greatest era, right?
Every generation believes that. I'm not that guy.
You aren't that guy.
Yeah.
But by and large.
Because I would like to believe the next generation will be better and hope that they will. They may not be, but I want them to be better than what we were.
As is the case, like most of the time, great one, you're the outlier. which is great, which is wonderful. I think most of us who work in this industry are outliers. That's why we're in it. It's an industry full of outliers. But you're the outlier.
It's also an industry full of liars. But
that is also true.
Yeah. Not in this room, though.
Outliers and regular liars.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that, by and large, most every generation believes their generation was the best generation. And the next generation sucks, and the last generation was selfish. It's just how it works at large. So I do think there is just some level of, it ain't the way that it used to be for me, and therefore it's bad.
Now you got Micah Mechanics stuck in my head.
Enjoy that.
The living years.
Enjoy that.
Every generation blames the one before. Anyway.
They do. I think that's absolutely correct. And I think there's a lot of that because it's not
Micah
so much.
Mechanics, people, you weren't ready for that.
I wasn't ready for a Mike in the Mechanics reference. Every generation hates the next generation because they change the things you love. When you do a thing for a very long time, you become convinced that that's the best way to do the thing. And when somebody comes along and changes the thing, even if they change the thing for the better, it's not how you like it, therefore it's bad.
All right, when it comes down to it, I don't know that it's better. I don't know that it's worse. It's just different.
Oh, no, and, I'm not saying that college football is or isn't better today than it was 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. What I'm saying is it is different. The next generation changed it, and we as pattern-seeking creatures, pattern-seeking great apes, we, by and large as a whole, don't like change. Because change means your pattern disappears. And your pattern disappearing means that you have to learn and adapt and change with those things. And I do think there is some element of folks just wanting to hang on. And I suspect that in 10, 15 years, whatever happens between here and there, we'll probably look back and go, yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal. It really wasn't. Like, we made it a big deal, but it really wasn't all that big of a deal. But I guess what I'm saying here is, I appreciate this effort of an editorial from Matt Zemek because I do think it brings down the biggest issue that you can listen to debated in the circle specifically of Clemson fans right now. Because the feeling I'm getting behind this microphone and interacting with Clemson fans online, in the public, on the air, is that there is a large group of Clemson fans that are ready to embrace the future and get on board with Portal and NIL and all of that. And there's a smaller, but I would probably argue equally as powerful group of Clemson fans who look at this and go, no, this isn't the way it's done. It's not the way it has been done in the past. It's not the way it should be done now. And we don't want to change anything. In fact, we are willing to hold on to the old ways, despite the fact that the new generation is telling us this is how you embrace mediocrity. This is how you make sure nothing changes. We don't care because that's the best way, because it's our way. And it's led to this spot where I feel like you have a very divided fan base around the football program going into what may be, and I mean this, the most pivotal year of Dabo Swinney's time at Clemson. It may be the most important year. This is an assessment year. This is why I've said, Clemson fans, define success. Because I think this is an assessment year for you.
So this is, at the end of this year, he'll get his employee evaluation, something that a lot of us have to do every single year.
Yeah, 100%. I think Clemson, I'm not saying it will. I'm saying you should. I think at the end of this year, multiple years deep into NIL, multiple years deep into the portal, multiple years to figure this whole thing out and learn how your school is going to operate within that world, multiple years into this new age of college football, Dabo and some of the old school folks at Clemson have effectively said, we're not doing it that way, or at least not the way that a lot of fans want us to do. We'll dabble, but we're not to Dabo will dabble, but we're not going any deeper than that. And especially with the fact that there are no portal players incoming, I think at the end of this year, it has to be evaluated. Did it work or did it not? And if it did work, great. Keep doing it. But if it doesn't work, then I think you have to start to acknowledge the old way, which is the Dabo way, or the Dabo way, which is the old way, doesn't work. And then it's time for a conversation. And I think that my guy Matt in this editorial basically said, look, you have two options here. You embrace new school college football and you give yourself a chance to succeed, or you reject new school college football and you ensure that you will fail, but hey, at least you failed your way. At least you failed your way. At least you lost your way. And I do think it's an interesting conversation as we approach the 2024 season. I also think something else is going to be interesting. All these words that Lonzo's going to say now.
Yes, as a wordsmith, that's what I do. 16 former men's college basketball players, including Mario Chalmers, Sharon Collins, Jason Terry, and Ryan Boatwright, have sued the NCAA and member conferences for what they allege are unauthorized use of their name, image, and likeness in March Madness. Highlights: the lawsuit accuses the NCAA, Big East, Pac-12, Big Ten, Big 12, SEC, and ACC of violating the federal Sherman Antitrust Act through unreasonable restraint of trade and refusal to deal. While we wait to see which MLB sluggers will compete in this year's Home Run Derby, we now know that Shohei Ohtani won't be one of them. The Japanese superstar, who has the second most home runs in the league, cites pitching rehab during the break as his reason for missing the contest. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun. It's all Wire to Wire.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
The Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Lonzo and you. Join the radio program, 844-326-3663. That is the number to the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone, 844-326-3663. You can text us on the text line at 71307, 71307. I would like to very quickly read you the start to an editorial posted on the USC fan site, Southern Cal, Trojans Wire, by a author named Matt Zemek, Z-E-M-E-K, if you want to go look it up. The headline of this article is, if you want to win but don't like where college football is going, you have to choose. That's the title of the editorial he's posted. He opens it as such. The new world of NIL, the transfer portal, and the college football playoff is turning college football into a business which looks increasingly more like the NFL. It's more corporate, more cutthroat, with more dollars and more postseason bursts on the line. The transfer portal is college sports' answer to free agency in the pros. Player acquisition is now a year-round pursuit in college football, and the programs which don't go into the portal, see Dabo Swinney at Clemson, are losing ground. End quote. He goes on to say, it's more than understandable that fans hate what college football is becoming. Recruiting isn't as fun as it used to be. The transfer portal, while very important in the larger scheme of college football's landscape, is annoying because one program can come in with a hefty NIL offer and snatch away a prospect who seemed intent on playing at another school. USC fans have felt this particular frustration quite a bit. If they hate what college football has become, no one can blame them for feeling that way. The discussion gets more complicated, however, when fans lament the direction of college football and how the sport no longer has the innocence or charm it used to have, but still want their school to be competitive in the NIL, the portal, and recruiting. We all don't like the crass commercialization of college football and the distorting effects of conference realignment, such as the ridiculous travel demands being placed on 19 and 20-year-old athletes. Yet, if we still care about our schools, such as USC, we realize this is the brave new world we're a part of. We either play the game or we might as well go home and pursue other passions. If we want USC to be competitive, we have to be willing to allow USC to pursue every reasonable and ethical avenue to achieve elite football performance. If we claim to want the best for you, to want the best for USC football, but then don't want the school to be hyper aggressive in the pursuit of quality, we're sending a missed message. We can privately hate where college football is going, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't want USC football to do whatever it takes, honorably, of course, to reach its goals. End quote. That's the whole thing. I was going to read you a part of it, but got into it. And I'm like, hey, this is short enough. I'll give it to you. Here's the fun thing. Yeah. Yeah. What are we talking about here? Like I've told you guys before, one of my hobbies is that when I get into the bro cave at night, and I'm getting set up to show prep for the next day, I've got my routine, right? Like I finish the show here. So when I go to the Fortress of Nerditude, we knock out our post-show work, our post-show production, whatever. I leave here, I go home, I sit out in the backyard with the dog, I come back in, I get a sandwich, I have lunch, whatever it's going to be. I take myself a little mid-afternoon siesta because I'm an adult with no kids. I do what I want, leave me alone. And then somewhere around 6 o'clock, I either sit on the couch with the fiance or I go back in the bro cave. I lean back in the gamer chair. I fire up the laptop and the tablet of truth. I put a sports on the TV and I start show prepping. And while I'm doing that, I will open up the Audacy app. A-U-D-A-C-Y, by the way. Get it. Heart, favorite, like, whatever you want to call it. The Fan Upstate. You can listen to, as many people do, the show, the station, anytime you want. But I clip around to sports talk channels in other markets. I listen to markets across the Southeast. I listen to markets along the Atlantic seaboard. I listen to shows from out in California. I like to know, what are the driving topics of discussion in other markets? And that doesn't always mean that those topics are going to work in our market, but there are some that do. And it seems like whenever I clip into stations that are primarily in college football towns, right? Fayetteville, Arkansas, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Eugene, Oregon, whatever the case might be. Whenever I clip into towns that are primarily college football towns, there's still a lot of, I don't like what college football has become. I don't like that it's lost its innocence. I'm getting real tired of that phrase, to keep it a buck for you. College football's never been innocent. It's just that most of what has happened out of your eyesight. That's all. The $500 handshakes have always happened.
You say never. Maybe when it first started. I mean, very first year.
Sure. If you'd like to go back to the 1810s, I'm sure it was just pure as the driven snow in 1814.
I don't think it's that old, but still.
You get the point. The point is, when it first started, they were wearing sweaters and no helmets to play the game. Like, maybe it was innocent at that point in time, but also they were wearing sweaters and no helmets. We didn't really have the game figured out yet.
So you've never played backyard football before?
No, I definitely did.
Okay.
I was also dumb.
All right.
I wouldn't do it today. I guess I just ain't got that dog in me no more.
If I was physically capable, even at my age, I definitely would. There's just something about it. It's just so much fun.
And I'll get out there and roll some flag football with the best of them.
Well, no. I miss hitting people. I really do.
I got a list. I got a list. You can go hit if you want.
Not that kind of hit.
Some of them are here. Make it easy. You don't even have to play the away team. You can play the home team.
I can be the office linebacker. I might need some help getting up after the first hit, but you know.
So whenever I clip into these college town sports stations, I am still hearing the "I hate what college football has become" conversation. And it kind of feels to me like, at this point, despite the fact that I'm doing a segment on it, it kind of feels to me like a waste of breath at this point. Guys, it's never going back, right? It's never going back. What are we talking about? I will say, if nothing else, I think I appreciated this article from this cat, because you know Lonzo, if I asked you to summarize this editorial that I just read, penned by Matt Zemek, if I asked you to like ChatGPT summarize this thing for me, how would you summarize this article?
I can't do that.
Okay, I can. The summary is, shut up and stop-ing about it, because you have two options: embrace it and be good, or reject it and be bad, and that's it.
Yeah, but it's a waste of breath. That's why I can't do it, because the people who are still clinging and still looking behind and not ahead are going to remain doing that, because unfortunately that's a lot of their show prep. You take that away, then they're going to have to embrace the new way and actually start talking about what's going on now. I get it. There's regret. There's glory about the past, but it ain't coming back. I mean,
I'm sure there is some element of it, of every generation believes that the era they grew up in is the greatest era, right? Every generation believes that.
I'm not that guy.
You aren't that guy.
Yeah.
But by and large.
Because I would like to believe the next generation will be better and hope that they will. They may not be. but I want them to be better than what we were.
As is the case, like most of the time, great one, you're the outlier. Which is great, which is wonderful. I think most of us who work in this industry are outliers. That's why we're in it. It's an industry full of outliers. But you're the outlier.
It's also an industry full of liars. But
that is also true.
Yeah. Not in this room, though.
Outliers and regular liars.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that, by and large, most every generation believes their generation was the best generation. And the next generation sucks, and the last generation was selfish. It's just how it works at large. So I do think there is just some level of it ain't the way that it used to be for me, and therefore it's bad.
Now you got Micah Mechanics stuck in my head.
Enjoy that.
The living years.
Enjoy that.
Every generation blames the one before. Anyway.
They do. I think that's absolutely correct. And I think there's a lot of that because it's not
Micah Mechanics, people. You weren't ready for that.
I wasn't ready for a Mike in the Mechanics reference. Every generation hates the next generation because they change the things you love. When you do a thing for a very long time, you become convinced that that's the best way to do the thing. And when somebody comes along and changes the thing, even if they change the thing for the better, it's not how you like it, therefore it's bad.
All right, when it comes down to it, I don't know that it's better. I don't know that it's worse. It's just different.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that college football is or isn't better today than it was 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. What I'm saying is it is different. The next generation changed it. And we as pattern-seeking creatures, pattern-seeking great apes, we, by and large as a whole, don't like change. Because change means your pattern disappears. And your pattern disappearing means that you have to learn and adapt and change with those things. And I do think there is some element of folks just wanting to hang on. And I suspect that in 10, 15 years, whatever happens between here and there, we'll probably look back and go, yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal. It really wasn't. Like, we made it a big deal, but it really wasn't all that big of a deal. But I guess what I'm saying here is, I appreciate this effort of an editorial from Matt Zemek because I do think it brings down the biggest issue that you can listen to debated in the circle specifically of Clemson fans right now. Because the feeling I'm getting behind this microphone and interacting with Clemson fans online, in the public, on the air, is that there is a large group of Clemson fans that are ready to embrace the future and get on board with Portal and NIL and all of that. And there's a smaller, but I would probably argue equally as powerful group of Clemson fans who look at this and go, no, this isn't the way it's done. It's not the way it has been done in the past. It's not the way it should be done now. And we don't want to change anything. In fact, we are willing to hold on to the old ways, despite the fact that the new generation is telling us this is how you embrace mediocrity. This is how you make sure nothing changes. We don't care because that's the best way, because it's our way. And it's led to this spot where I feel like you have a very divided fan base around the football program going into what may be, and I mean this, the most pivotal year of Dabo Swinney's time at Clemson. It may be the most important year. This is an assessment year. This is why I've said, Clemson fans, define success. Because I think this is an assessment year for you.
So this is, at the end of this year, he'll get his employee evaluation, something that a lot of us have to do every single year.
Yeah, 100%. I think Clemson, I'm not saying it will. I'm saying you should. I think at the end of this year, multiple years deep into NIL, multiple years deep into the portal, multiple years to figure this whole thing out and learn how your school is going to operate within that world, multiple years into this new age of college football, Dabo and some of the old school folks at Clemson have effectively said, we're not doing it that way, or at least not the way that a lot of fans want us to do. We'll dabble, but we're not to Dabo will dabble, but we're not going any deeper than that. And especially with the fact that there are no portals, portal players incoming, I think at the end of this year, it has to be evaluated. Did it work or did it not? And if it did work, great. Keep doing it. But if it doesn't work, then I think you'll have to start to acknowledge the old way, which is the Dabo way, or the Dabo way, which is the old way, doesn't work. And then it's time for a conversation. And I think that my guy Matt in this editorial basically said, look, you have two options here. You embrace new school college football and you give yourself a chance to succeed, or you reject new school college football and you ensure that you will fail, but hey, at least you failed your way. At least you failed your way. At least you lost your way. And I do think it's an interesting conversation as we approach the 2024 season. I also think something else is going to be interesting. All these words that Lonzo's going to say now.
Yes, as a wordsmith, that's what I do. 16 former men's college basketball players, including Mario Chalmers, Sharon Collins, Jason Terry, and Ryan Boatwright, have sued the NCAA and member conferences for what they allege are unauthorized use of their name, image, and likeness in March Madness. Highlights: the lawsuit accuses the NCAA, Big East, Pac-12, Big Ten, Big 12, SEC, and ACC of violating the federal Sherman Antitrust Act through unreasonable restraint of trade and refusal to deal. While we wait to see which MLB sluggers will compete in this year's Home Run Derby, we now know that Shohei Ohtani won't be one of them. The Japanese superstar, who has the second most home runs in the league, cites pitching rehab during the break as his reason for missing the contest. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun. It's all Wire to Wire.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.